This is a live special report from ABC Radio News. I'm Bob Walker with Merrill Muller at the Apollo News Center in New York as we continue with our coverage of Apollo 13 and its unique and serious problems in outer space. The news conference in Houston has just broken up.
Let's recap as rapidly as we can, and the line is open between Houston and Apollo 13, and the minute there's a voice behind me, I'll keep quiet so you can hear this dramatic conversation, but very calm, cool, collected conversation, on working out a space rescue for three American astronauts, Jim Lovell, Jack Swigert, Fred Hayes.
Okay,
they're not
Houston
stranded.
Radio check.
That's Jack Glassman, the Capcom in Houston, calling Aquarius 13, Apollo 13, but calling Aquarius, which has Lovell and Hayes in it. Odyssey has Swigert in it. I'll explain that in a minute. The two ships are still locked together. They are over 200,000 miles from Earth.
Okay, Jack, how are you right now?
Okay, hearing you five square now, Jim. And the question we have is there some way you can orient the spacecraft so that the service module is between the limb and the sun so you can recognize constellations out the window? And secondly, can you see anything out the AOT?
They're trying to line him up or to help him get lined up so he can make some sextant navigational checks in space. They have an approximate position for them based on radar tracking from the Earth, but it is not precise enough, not accurate enough, and they need the help of the pilots in space in star triangulation, the same old Navy shipboard system, and Jim Lovell is a crackerjack at it, but he's been complaining that he cannot get the spaceship stabilized enough, nor can he see enough out the windows of the LEM at the moment, because the command ship is still anchored to it, to make star fixes through the airborne orbital telescope.
Aquarius Houston, how do you read?
He'll answer. He's there, but he's busy. They're all three busy. They are trying to get stabilized. By stabilized, they've been pitching end over end. They've been rolling one side to the other. All of this was caused by, and this is astronaut Jim McDivitt's assumption, either something hitting the command ship, Odyssey, hitting the rear end of it, a meteorite perhaps, or one of the pressure tanks in the rear end of it exploding and destroying the electrical power system and the oxygen system in the Odyssey command ship. They are now operating on the oxygen system, and there's plenty of it. I want to emphasize that. They've got at their present rate of consumption something like 8 or 9 days of oxygen left aboard the moon lander, which all three of them can live on in their suit hoses or in the two cabins. And in actual fact, Jim McDivitt said they are now living in the two cabins without pressurized suits, without helmets. So they are able to move and function rapidly, although it's pretty hard to function when you're spinning and pitching around. And they have lost their fresh water supply from the command ship, but they have plenty of fresh water in the moon lander. They have lost all of their electrical power in the command ship except the emergency batteries which bring them home for the ocean landing. And those batteries are being saved by cutting off all the switches, the electrical switches, in the command ship. And both ships are living on minimal electrical power supplied by the moon lander, which has batteries in both stages. And it has enough batteries for about 5 days of flight with minimum operation.
59 hours, 51 minutes ground elapsed time. Continuing to stand by as we go through momentary loss of communications as the antennas and the spacecraft attitude drift past the point at which the ground tracking stations can receive from the spacecraft antennas. To back up and recap the earlier maneuver pad or information regarding a descent propulsion system abort for a minimum return time, this maneuver, should it be done, would come at 79 hours, 25 26 seconds ground elapsed time at an altitude above the moon at 205 nautical miles. The maneuver would be 1,797.7 feet per second, posigrade, a burn time of 8 minutes 35 seconds. Would produce entry interface at about 133 hours ground elapsed time. Apollo 13 is now 185,455 nautical miles out from Earth. Velocity showing on the display here in Mission Control, 3,118 feet per second. Spacecraft crew aboard Aquarius and Odyssey are now powering down, carefully husbanding all of the consumables aboard the spacecraft. We're continuing to stand by at 59 hours, 53 minutes ground elapsed time. This is Apollo Control.
And I'm Bob Walker, along with Merrill Muller at the Apollo News Center in New York. You're listening to a special live report from ABC Radio News in New York on the flight of Apollo 13 and some flight it's been. And if our mathematics very quickly figured are correct, that would bring them home at 2:26 p.m. Friday afternoon. That would be for an Atlantic Ocean landing. They're still working on the possibility of landing either in the Atlantic or the Pacific. Right now they have to cover all contingencies, and that's what they're doing. Let's listen now as Houston calls up to Aquarius. So very bad communications, as you can hear. They've been doing some realigning. They've been doing realigning now for over 4 hours. That's how long the problem has been occurring. Trying to reestablish communication from Houston to those spaceships. Join together, heading for a one quick zip around the moon.
We've just sent out to get those figures again so we can check them, but it looks like they're going to have to do this emergency maneuver to leave the area of the moon early tomorrow night. If I understood the figures correctly, and please don't hold me to these digits, they'll go behind the moon at an altitude of about 60 miles from the edge of the moon, but they are slingshotting past it and at an altitude of about 270 miles behind the moon. They will then fire this descent engine on the moon lander, but of course by the time they do that they will have turned around so that they're headed home backwards and use the descent engine on the moon lander to get that kick. We have those figures in a minute, we'll check them out.
That looks like a Thursday splashdown.
No, they're a long way out. If they fire tomorrow night, I've lost the week also. This is Monday, isn't it? They fire tomorrow night. They got a long way home.
Well, this is now early Tuesday, yeah. New York time.
See, their speed approaching the moon now is down to around, 2,200 miles an hour. They've got 10 hours of flight before they even get close to it. So, and they've got to go around it.
At 2:26 p.m. Friday afternoon. That would be for an Atlantic Ocean landing. They're still working on the possibility of landing either in the Atlantic or the Pacific. Right now they have to cover all contingencies, and that's what they're doing. Let's listen now as Houston calls up to Aquarius. Very bad communications, as you can hear. They've been doing some realigning. They've been doing realigning now for over 4 hours. That's how long the problem has been occurring. trying to reestablish communication from Houston to those spaceships joined together, heading for a one quick zip around the moon.
We just sent out to get those figures again so we can check them, but it looks like they're going to have to do this emergency maneuver to leave the area of the moon early tomorrow night. If I understood the figures correctly, and please don't hold me to these digits, they'll go behind the moon at an altitude of about 60 miles from the edge of the moon, but they are slingshotting past it, and at an altitude of about 270 miles behind the moon, they will then fire this descent engine on the moon lander. But of course, by the time they do that, they will have turned around so that they're headed home backwards and use the descent engine on the moon lander to get that kick, to get the orbital speed, to get away from the moon and head back home again.
And if I can
have those figures in a minute, we'll check them out.
That looks like a Thursday splashdown.
No, they're a long way out. If they fire tomorrow night, I've lost the week also. This is Monday, isn't it? They fire tomorrow night, they got a long way home.
Well, this is now early Tuesday, New York time.
See, their speed approaching the moon now is down to around, 2,200 miles an hour. They've got 10 hours of flight before they even get close to it. So, and they've got to go around it. Mission Control, of course, has been tense all evening. I think I can throw away a personal aside here. I've known Christopher Kraft, the deputy director of the Manned Spacecraft Center, very closely for a little over 11 years now, and I don't think I've ever seen him more concerned than he is tonight about this situation. And he publicly admitted in Houston at a news conference, this is the most serious situation the American manned spaceflight program has ever faced. It is far worse than that which Elon Musk and David Scott overcame. Here is Houston calling Apollo 13, and they're calling level.
Aquarius, request forward on me, please.
Haven't succeeded in establishing communications between Houston and the Aquarius. They're calling Jim Lovell. Well, as we heard, they were doing some realigning of the spaceships, both of them. Communications naturally have been on and off during this last 4 hours of trouble. And of course, the three astronauts have lots to do. So maybe they just don't want to answer Houston right now.
Aquarius, Houston, request forward on me. How do you read?
As long as we get static on there, they're up there. And we'll be hearing from them in a minute. That static is the role of the antenna. And there's nothing to be concerned about. They haven't answered these calls promptly for the past 4 hours. It has depended on where they are and what antenna they're using. We'll be hearing the call in a few minutes. We've just figured out their rocket firing time to start home. And, Bob, you were right. It should be about 9:13 tomorrow night.
Okay, Houston, Aquarius, how do you read?
Hello there, Aquarius, loud and clear. How do you read me?
It's all about background. Okay, we got a lot of background static, Jack. You're down in the mud. You having a ground problem?
What we tried to do was to get the IU frequency shifted off a little bit so as we have less interference. I think it'll come up. What we want you to do is... Turn down your descent oxygen, turn off your ascent oxygen, over. And request forward Omni.
You're unreadable, Jack. We got our signal assist meter right now. It keeps wavering up and down. The best I'm getting is about 2.4 AGC.
Roger, request forward Omni.
That's an antenna direction, these.
And I'm a little confused.
I am on forward Omni. I've been on forward Omni.
That's a little confusing because the forward Omni is on the nose of the command ship, and unless he's got that nose pointed to the earth, the forward Omni is no good to them, but the ground apparently knows they are pointed that way, and so does he.
Now the ground is doing some refiguring.
Of course, it's pretty hard to figure out what their position is relative to a straight line in space. Are they flying broadside? Are they flying backward? Are they flying upside down? Until they get themselves oriented, the ground isn't really sure because all the radar tracking does is give them at the position of a blip.
Square, Fred, help me.
They either rolled out or pitched out. That's the antenna going off again, and they'll come up on another one. Their problem, they've been trying to stabilize the two spaceships and get a star triangulation fix.
Aquarius Houston, how do you read?
So that they can get the Moonlander computer guidance system to work as an automatic pilot and stabilize both ships in space. That will help all three crewmen a great deal because they're too busy right now trying to keep control of things, and they are using the Moonlander to try to control both. Apollo Houston, Mission Control in Houston, seems to have called Apollo 13 at the worst possible time when you hear the loud static, but that doesn't mean anything because quite often there's a voice.
Aquarius Houston, radio check.
When Houston calls Apollo 13...
So every time you transmit, Jack, the AGC starts to drop off and the static level cranks up.
Okay, Fred, you're loud and clear.
That's Aquarius.
And every time they get a radio signal... Every time they get a radio signal into Aquarius...
Then go to descent 02.
Descent supply, that's the descent Moonlander. It's the Moonlander's descent stage and the oxygen supply to keep all three of them happy. But what I'm trying to say is that every time they send up a signal, a telemetry data signal from the Earth to the Moonlander, it upsets the abort guidance control system on the Moonlander. And that is their backup on the one remaining primary guidance control system they've got.
And that's the first indication that there is even the slightest bit of little problem on the LEM, with any system of the LEM. And that is not a problem. I'm merely saying it's the first indication that all systems aren't working perfectly. But it's the pitch and the yaw and the alignment problem that's giving them the difficulty.
I stand corrected. The automatic gain control that's being upset by signals from the ground, not the abort guidance system, the AGS system. In any case, they can't lock in at the moment any one of the automatic pilots because they don't know where they are. They know the course they're on, and they know how far they are from Earth and how close they are to the moon.
Hello there, Aquarius. How do you read me now?
Hello, Houston, Aquarius.
Aquarius, Houston, go.
Okay, that's the first clear word we heard from you, Jack. You think it could be my pitch attitude that's breaking up your incoming? I guess you've been hearing us.
We have been hearing you, and the problem is on the ground. I hope we have it corrected now.
The problem is on the ground, not anywhere around them.
We're considering powering down the pings, but we want to know what capability you have to do a course and final line. And we read your conversation about being unable to see out the window very good. How about out the AOT?
Pings is a primary automatic pilot. And the AOT, of course, is the sextant.
He's looking now.
And level is down, working on it.
Okay, and the other thing we thought you might try is to put the service module between you and the sun, and then to see if you can see anything out the window in that attitude.
It's the second time they've asked him to try that.
The reason we think that that would work is it worked on Apollo 10. It made the constellations all recognizable when we put the service module. In our case, a limb between us and the sun.
Apollo 10, yeah, that's someone off Tom Stafford's crew helping him. It might be Stafford himself. Who is it, do you know?
Stafford,
you're down in the mud again, Jack, and
John
it appears that some other circuit is feeding through on there with you.
Roger, aft Omni.
We've got John Young in the control room, obviously, helping out with Apollo 13 with his experiences on Apollo 10, and we have Apollo 14 rehearsing in the crew quarters with the simulators helping out with 13.
John Young sitting in at the Capcom console with Jack Lausma, giving the benefit of his experience in Apollo 10.
If you're wondering how they're controlling those two ships locked together up there, the moon lander has four sets of quads on it. Each quad is four separate little rockets. Each one has between 90 and 100 pounds of thrust, and they are solid fuel rockets, no problems with plumbing or anything like that. And they've got pretty powerful little kicks for guidance control, but they, of course, they're not the kind of power you need to get away from the moon.
They're down in the mud again, Jack. Lots of background static.